Hello.
Welcome back, Mr. President.
Well, I hear you got the stock market up to 984, huh?
Boy, it really has moved, hasn't it?
Yeah.
They finally decided on Wall Street that you were going to be reelected.
Well, at least this is a good thing in a sense, you know, in that area. A lot of those jackasses just vote on the basis of how their stocks are, you know.
It's a bullish ending to a pretty bullish week, so that with a lot of volume. And I guess
right. Well, of course, the point is the 984 is the highest since we've been in, I think.
Yes, it is. It was, I think it was a point higher in December of 1968, but...
yeah, that's before we were in, though.
Right. I think it's I think we're getting very close to the... Well, Jim Thurry was right a week ago when he said it would break 1,000. I think it's headed for it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm positive Wednesday morning.
Well, we've done our part for the candidates. Good God, that fellow out there in Oklahoma. And Jesus, I had to really cross my toes and feet when I gave that fellow... I told him how much I needed that fellow in Rhode Island. And said, although I must say, I like the governor, Steve Simone. He's a hell of a guy.
Oh, he's solid. Yeah. He's going to win. I think the... I'm afraid Chafee isn't going to make it. Chafee fell behind in the polls today.
And, he did?
Yes, sir.
Well, I'll be damned. Why?
Well, because he's been running such a jackass campaign. He really...
He could be behind Pell.
Yes, he's 2 points behind in the latest Providence Journal poll.
What are we showing it?
20 points ahead.
He can't win. He can't lose, then.
I don't think
then
so.
My being there may have done it, then. What do you think?
If he wins, that's true. Of course, he's kind of fellow that may not remember. Well, yeah, he'll have to remember that. At the moment,
but I praised him as the guy that had the strong Navy. We needed a strong America, number one, all that jazz, peace without surrender.
Your television was excellent, Mr. President, both from Chicago and Tulsa. Both of it made the only network news I saw tonight was CBS. And both the airport shots from Chicago and from Tulsa were very, very good. I thought particularly the line about calling for national unity.
I did it again tonight, too.
Oh, that just stabs it to him.
Don't you think it really sticks it to him?
Oh, right to the heart. I mean, it has to kill him, because...
I'm going to tomorrow express my appreciation for the way Senator Humphrey has supported us in these last few days.
I think that would be a marvelous thing. I do. I think that's a...
See what I mean?
Idea. Yeah, that's a great idea. As one who's been through many national campaigns.
Right.
Well, this fellow's coming apart at the seams.
Anything new today, Chuck?
No, he...
The Kiss My Ass things apparently got out more than I thought it would.
Oh, hell, it was banner headline of the Detroit News this afternoon.
Was it?
Yes, sir. Front page of the Baltimore Sun this morning, which surprised the hell out of me. The McGovern papers did not carry it. The
Post.
Like the Boston Post.
Globe.
Buried it. The Boston Globe didn't carry it. The Times, all I saw was the first edition, so that's probably not fair.
They didn't carry it. No, I looked up.
It wasn't in the Times. At least not in our edition. But
that's all right. That's all right. They don't matter.
It got a hell of a lot of radio play. It, I'm told, was played very, very big in Michigan.
Was it?
Yes, sir.
I don't know whether that hurt there or not. They're pretty sort of outspoken.
Oh, no, it hurts. Well,
it'll help with his kids, you know. His kids all talk that way.
Yeah, it'll help there, but he's got those votes. Where it hurts, Mr. President, is that people feel he doesn't have he doesn't have command of himself. In other words, that's a loss of control. It isn't.
Yeah, because basically... That's the thing that Agnew is gaining on, that his dignity and
exactly.
Good humor and the rest.
Exactly right. No, I think that has hurt him.
And you know, the way I went through three audiences today, all with hecklers, yelling and screaming, and paid no attention to him.
Yeah, that's the way to do it. Chicago, it was interesting on TV. They mentioned that you had hecklers, and of course Bob had called me from the plane to tell me about it, but you couldn't tell it from the television. And it was, I must say, it was kind of good, because you were getting your points across. They mentioned that there was a small group of hecklers in the hangar.
They made a lot of noise in the hangar, but maybe not as much on TV.
Well, they didn't, at least on CBS. I did not see the other two, but the footage was damn good. You talked about having the kind of country in which people could speak with civility and be heard, and that was very good. The national unity theme and the fact that the peace stuff, you hit just right. I think the Vietnam thing, you're at least the wire copy, plus what I saw on TV from...
I think we should leave it there. I don't think Henry should go out tomorrow.
No, I discouraged him very hard.
I'm glad you did, because basically, I can continue to talk positively. Like I say, we've reached agreement on the major points, but we've got some other points that are very important. They've got to be settled, too.
Well, the simple fact is that we couldn't be in better shape. And the only thing that Henry could do, I mean, there's no way that we could be any stronger.
What did McGovern say tonight?
He was on talking to a bunch of ministers this morning, and
he was supposed to talk on this Vietnam tonight.
He'd be on at 10:30 tonight. Mankiewicz was interviewed and said that he would be pointing out that it looks to them like we're not on the road to peace, that we've given in to two, that this is...
I think we pay no attention to him. Don't you agree?
No.
Or do you want to hit him?
I want to hit him. I'd like to have...
Not me, you don't mean.
Oh, no.
No, that's what I meant.
No,
I meant by me.
Oh, no, you should ignore it. Good job.
Well, let Laird and let Rogers hit him.
Laird would like to tomorrow, and Rogers on Sunday, and I think that's just about right.
Right, that they, as distinguished from Senator Humphrey, or Vice President Humphrey, and President Nixon, when they were candidates, who put the country first, this is an unconscionable, vicious thing. See? Get it? How about that way?
That's just the way that we would like to do it. We'll see how well he does tonight. You know, he's doing very badly. On TV tonight, he looked whipped. His voice is still hoarse. He's got no animation at all.
Hell, he's tired. The poor devil is running around. Of course, he's only 50 years of age. Christ, when I was 50, I could go like hell.
Well, but he's, you know, he doesn't have the stuff, Mr. President. He really isn't.
You don't think so?
No. And I think he realizes he's on the verge of an impending
disaster
from his side. And everything he has done has gone wrong. He got his schedule screwed up today. He spoke before a small group of ministers, and it wasn't really very inspiring stuff. Tonight, as far as, well, I shouldn't say that. I only saw one network. But on that one network, we certainly came out miles ahead. You led it. There were scenes from Chicago. There were scenes from Tulsa. It was kind of upbeat. You know, it was the Air Force One coming in with you getting off. It a good feeling.
We were a huge crowd, you know, for two-day rallies.
Well, they made that point. I was surprised. At least CBS...
We had 15 to 20,000 in Chicago. We had at least 20 to 25 in Tulsa. We had 18,000 tonight.
Yeah, they said 25. CBS Night said 25 in Chicago after I'd read 15 on the wires. So
15 is all it really was.
Yeah, I figured.
But Tulsa was 25.
What the hell of a... That's damn good. The number really doesn't matter. You can fill a hangar and have a lot of enthusiastic people, and it looked good. The crowd shots were good. Showed you both times coming through the crowd, in both rallies. I thought it was excellent, and I think just the right amount of campaigning, just coming at the right time and the right pace. If we can believe the Harris figures, we really don't. I mean, we're just going.
What's he got? Has he got anything yet?
Well, he's got all of yesterday's finished, and
that's just yesterday. Raw data is still low.
No. He ran
computer.
28 points ahead, 61-33.
That's from yesterday.
That's from yesterday. Now, what he was
he not going to print that?
No, he won't print it for the reason that he'll do 1,500 samples more tomorrow. And had he printed this tomorrow, and then if there were any difference in tomorrow's, then when he printed Monday, it would look like there'd been movement, which he is convinced there is not. So
does he think this figure's right, Chuck?
Yes, sir. So he's going to take yesterday's and tomorrow's.
He has it at
61-33.
I don't really believe that, do you?
Yes, I do.
I don't think it's that good because of what I read about the blue-collar shift. I think there has been some, you know, in that Cleveland precinct and the others that they
well,
talk
you're
about.
Getting none of that, Mr. President. No, what you're seeing on television is the interview that was in the news summary this morning. Yeah, there'll be pockets of that, but it isn't very widespread. And I think the public has made up its mind. Lou is going to project it for Monday. He goes through this process every year. What he's doing this year, he would normally have released this figure tomorrow, but then he was concerned, or I was concerned, rather, that tomorrow showed a shift up or down.
And
on Monday, he would have to say, well, over the weekend...
So he's gonna wait till Monday to put anything out.
Well, then he'll put the whole thing, all 3,000 interviews, which means that tomorrow...
Yeah. And if he shows it less than 60, suppose he shows it 59-35. Still good in it.
That's right. If he only does one this way, then there'll be no movement because a week ago it was 28, and today it's 28, and if tomorrow it's 24, well, then it averages out to 26. So he shows Monday morning, he shows a 26-point lead. But he doesn't even think it's going to do that. He thinks it's going to stay right at this. He thinks this because all of the underlying things are very, very solid.
Are they good?
Yes. and no slippage anyplace. And so he just doesn't feel...
What'd you say about Watergate?
He's not getting anything. That's, he now buys...
It's mainly, I think, a Republican problem, you know?
Well, he now completely buys the theory, Mr. President, that Vietnam just knocked that right off of people's minds. His theory is that people are only thinking about one thing at a time. Right now, they're thinking about the end of the war, and that's helped the confidence in your leadership, and that stopped the erosion, and it stopped people thinking about the saboteurs and spies.
And even though they know it isn't over, they have more confidence in me than McGovern.
That's right. Well, probably more so. There's just that little bit of, you know, there's a feeling that it isn't just a matter of signing a piece of paper and getting it over with.
I get that all day today. I got it lined off. They didn't use it, of course, but a very good one in Tulsa, which I would hope would be picked up. I said, now let me tell you about the election. The election is not going to hurry us into making a bad agreement, and the election also is not going to delay us in making a good agreement. That's the way it's going
to
be.
Well, that's just the way to put it. The only thing we have to guard against, and I talked to Henry about this afternoon, is if the press over the weekend really build off the McGovern line. You know, they've played the game with him. Whatever he is, whatever has been the line he's been moving, they've moved it.
Yeah.
And if he plays the line that we're, you know, deliberately
bombed out.
Yeah, and going to not go ahead with the agreement, then we just have to. We may have to use Henry to. On a one-on-one basis, I would never...
No, only one-on-one, though.
Yeah, that's what I told him. I would never put him out there because you were so damn far ahead that there's just no point.
And you want to remember, I'll be out there in North Carolina, which will make the news tomorrow, and I'll be very confident that it's going to be done.
Yeah, and that takes care of the Sunday papers and tomorrow night's TV. Then you're into Monday, which is all you're going to get Monday, your polls. You're going to have Harris, you're going to have Gallup. You're going to have, I think there are 17 state polls that we will have by midnight tomorrow night. They'll be just, really what you're going to get is political analysis beginning Sunday and Monday.
California has already run, hasn't it?
Yes, sir. Field poll ran yesterday. And that's the end of California.
Don't you think that really cooks them in California? Have you got any reactions to it?
Yes, sir. Don Rogers called me tonight. He's out in Los Angeles. And he said, I have never seen anything in my life like the Paul Hall operation. He said, my God, if they've got 35 cars, sound trucks, going all through the streets of San Francisco, they got people working. He said, they've just turned them out by the droves. They're handing out brochures. He said, there's a feeling of activity and upbeat. He said, the Democrats out here are absolutely demoralized. He said, that poll just finished them. And there's no sign of activity on the side. And he said, there's real momentum on our side. And really, he called me. He was very enthused. He said, this is just a great feeling out here. He had just come from San Francisco. Apparently, Paul Hall has really moved into the Bay Area.
Great.
Very heavy. But
what do you hear from Massachusetts?
Well, I've had several reports as a result of Mrs. Nixon's the confrontation, all of which lead our people to say that we're going to squeak it out. It's 50-50.
Well, if we don't, what the hell?
Yeah,
let that Massachusetts be where it belongs.
14 electoral votes. Well, I hate to do it. I'd love to do it. It's a personal thing. I'd love to bring that one in. But
we've got to realize it's a long shot. What about Michigan?
Well, Michigan, we're running some busing ads on Monday, which I think is going to firm up Michigan. We're 7 points ahead, 47 or 8, 49, 42.
Is that what Detroit News has?
We'll have that. Detroit News will have that on Sunday.
49 what?
49-42 was the preliminary figure. Now, they hadn't weighted that, and we may get a little better break out of it because the black voting is very, very low, very apathetic. That had closed a little bit in the past 2 weeks, and that's the result of the UAW activity.
Oh, sure.
But that's still a hell of a lead the weekend of the election. And we're stepping up the anti-busing ads that we did on radio, and we have one in the Detroit News Monday afternoon. Mm-hmm. That's, I think, a ball buster.
You figured Michigan, though, we can win?
Oh, yes. Yes, sir. Henry Cashin is from Michigan. Talked to him today out there, and he said that two things are going for us. One is the Chris Griffin is working his fanny off.
What does Detroit News show him?
4 points.
He'll win. If we win, he'll win.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah. But he's working. news, Fanioff. The Republicans are, as a result of that, the Republicans are really kind of up for it and working hard. The ads this weekend, where we're concentrating now a hell of a lot more into Detroit, will help us. Plus the fact that's where he made the kiss my ass remark, and that's where it's been making all the news. And that's bound, that's going to turn people off.
You think he'll help?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be, it doesn't compare with Muskie crying in the snow up in New Hampshire, but it's going to hurt him. It's a lot different than Harry Truman calling Drew Pearson a...
Oh, well, that's different, sure.
Because he was defending his daughter. This was just a gratuitous, went out of his way to...
Well, it was kind of a, it's not worthy of a person running for president.
That's correct, yeah.
You can say, give him hell, and the other fellow's a son of a bitch, but you don't say to a kid, kiss my ass.
That's right, yeah. That, and it was unnecessary. I mean, it just shows the guy's coming apart. So that having happened in Battle Creek, I think that's going to affect Michigan. I think we're fine in Michigan. I think we've got a
company. What do you hear from Wisconsin?
He's calling it 53-47 as the final.
That's what he thought it would always be.
Yeah, he's never been away from that. Wisconsin, apparently our situation is hello.
Yeah.
Yeah. Apparently the situation is firmed up, and
oh, you think so?
That's the report I had this afternoon, Mr. President. And we're doing very well in the blue collar areas. That's an interesting thing in this Harris poll. Absolutely no change from early September in the union vote, and no change in the Catholic vote. The union vote is 54-40, with us winning it. That's the organized labor vote.
Mm-hmm.
The Catholics, 59-35. Well, that's down 2 points from the last one, but that's nothing. 54-40 on...
That's just the usual closing of Democrats.
Well, a little bit, yeah, except with Democrats, we're 40, and McGovern's 53. So that's a very, very strong showing. My God, I could... went 25, and that was considered a phenomenal percentage of the Democrats.
Right.
So it's... we're in awfully good shape. I'm not worried at all about Wisconsin. I think there's too much of the Catholic and there's too much of the blue collar there for us to lose it.
I think the broadcast they did last night may have helped a bit on this thing too, don't you think?
Yes, sir. In the area that we needed help in, with the higher income, affluent suburbanite, that was exactly the right tone. That was just and a marvelous contrast with McGovern. He gives the appearance of a frantic campaigner. That last night was a brilliant contrast with that. Plus, you made some damn good points, particularly I think on the Vietnam thing, which you just put it in focus just right. Cal was on CBS night saying that you took Henry's briefing down a peg or two. Fine, but I think it was what the people needed to hear from you, which is a hell of a lot different than hearing it from Kissinger.
That's right. Well, if we took it down a peg or two, that's all right. It's realistic.
Yeah, and then of course the wires today we're playing it quite bullishly on them. Vietnam.
That's why market moves.
Yeah, we have a settlement, and it's going to include all of Indochina. And we're still working out some of the problems, and we'll get it when we're ready to get it. Mm-hmm. I like that. It's strong. I think we've got that issue absolutely positioned correctly, and all we need to do now is use Miller tomorrow. Put it in perspective Sunday.
Well, he'll hit hard on it tonight. He'll say we've blown it and this and that and the other thing, but...
I don't think people are listening to it anymore.
But we've got to come back now with Laird and Rogers, I agree. Those are the two to do it. And, of course, I'll hit it hard, too.
That's right. You'll have good opportunities to do it tomorrow. Well, both of those fellows are primed to do it. We have a little problem with CBS, Mr. President, which I might mention to you. They're on strike.
Not too bad.
The vice president was scheduled to face the nation. If you remember, we talked him into it. That means, in effect, crossing a picket line. McGovern is also scheduled to do it, and he's worked out a pretty neat gimmick. He's going to do it from a non-union affiliate and let them tape it in. We can't do that because of where the vice president is.
That's right.
Schultz and I talked tonight, and both of us, union. You see, it's the electrical workers.
Right.
IBEW. And
right, good.
So we, in a way, it's kind of a nice thing. It sticks it to CBS.
Mm-hmm.
And it really does. You know, it hurts them. It's in a sense, it isn't taking sides in it, but they'll interpret it that way. And it is not crossing a picket line. And if McGovern wants to, then we'll just have our union boys.
And have them hit him like hell.
Oh, Jesus, I talked to Fitzsimmons tonight. He said, if a dumb son of a bitch does that, he said, we'll just cream him.
Good.
He said, if Agnew does it, then we'll shut up.
But no, well, he won't.
I think it's better if you...
No, he won't. He won't. No, sir, we don't want him on that silly program anyway. If
you agree, Schultz and I feel strongly, although I think we should make that decision without talking to
you. You go ahead.
We're knocking hell out of this demonstrator issue, Mr. President.
Are you?
Yeah.
Oh.
Rizzo took it on today.
What did he say?
Oh, he as only Rizzo could do it. He talked about all those damn liberals that are trying to shut us up, and by God, the only way they're going to stop me is by voting me out of office. And he hit him. God, he really hit him very hard.
Good.
Bill demanded an apology again today. I think that we came out of that yesterday a little bit ahead because it got visibility for the issue of the people who were harassing Mrs. Nixon in particular in Boston. That turned the Boston story into a real national story.
Mm-hmm.
Mankiewicz was pretty cute trying to blame it back on the vice president, but I somehow don't think I don't think there's any credibility left on that side. Rizzo said, accused the demonstrators of infringing upon the rights of citizens who want to hear President Nixon. The day has arrived for everyone to question whether these liberals have the right to disrupt others. Right to attend a public event. I tell you what these liberals have to do to disrupt these events is to knock me out of the box at the next election, because by God, they're going to have to take me on. Oh, Jesus.
Right.
Great.
Good.
So I think we'll continue to hammer him on that. Billy Graham's thing has moved very well. His statement supporting us, supporting you, and on the integrity and on the morality issue, he came through very well. So I think it's, with your campaigning and with the other side looking very weak at the moment, I think we're going into the weekend just about as strong as we could be.
It's rather good that I'm out tomorrow, really.
Yes.
Because it'll be in, you know, we'll just take the high road and...
Well, it ends, frankly, we're bringing the campaign to an end with you on the upswing. And McGovern really looking pretty pitiful. Mr. President, he had to cancel out some of his engagements today to tape the thing tonight. They had an interview with Mankiewicz, who really looked whipped on the evening news tonight, which he was kind of previewing the speech and apologizing for McGovern having missed a scheduled stop.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you just have that sense of it. You just have that feeling that they're really...
Coming apart, maybe.
Yeah, really coming apart.
Well,
really
they've got to be coming apart. Good God, they've got to be.
Well, Eagleton won't do a radio tape for them or a television tape that they wanted this weekend. He's refusing to do it. And they're just all those signs of the...
Mm-hmm.
You know, of the real beating coming. And you're very, absolutely right about the stock market. That gives the whole week kind of an upbeat note. The wholesale price story yesterday played great. The unemployment story today, I thought, played very straight.
Mm-hmm.
And the networks played it straight. It was a big month for an increase in employment. So
Well, we'll live through it.
It's a good feeling. You don't sound tired, but you should.
No, I'm fine. No, it was not that bad. It was a long, it was 7 hours, 8 hours on a plane, but...
Well, that's rough, man.
But,
three rallies, but...
The rallies were easy, but the plane rides are long. Well, anyway, we'll
good upbeat note.
Wind her up tomorrow, huh?
We'll keep right on them. Yes, sir.
Good.
Thank you, Mr. President.